Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Thursday, November 20th, getting to be winter. I just heard on the news while I was waiting for the show to start that, and maybe you did too, that and more snow in Buffalo, New York area. And it's cold here in Florida, but I got my heater. I was talking the other day about my old heater broke and I had ordered a new one. And I'll just say it again, because I know that a lot of people are buying little space heaters nowadays, or you have one because it's getting cold and you want to make sure that you don't use a plastic space heater because the heat will cause the plastic to outgas. What you want to get is something called a utility heater, and they have metal housings, metal with a powder coat baked on finish. Sometimes if the powder coat finish smells, just put it somewhere where you can just run it and it'll bake off. It's just some residual thing. But I just took mine out of the box and there was no odor at all. And it's heating my feet up nicely under the desk. And I got it at Home Depot for $19. You might have to order one because they're just flying off the shelves, but that's just go into Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever your local hardware store is and ask them for a utility heater. And that's how you can get it. It just went on. I don't know if you can hear it. Anyway, that's how you can get a heater, a small heater that will heat you personally, not your whole entire house, but will heat you personally sitting at a desk or lying in bed, inexpensively and non-toxically. The most important thing is it's toxic-free. Actually, it's toxic-free in your home. The electricity, of course, is putting toxic pollutants out into the environment, but that's another thing. All right, so it's Thursday, November 20th, 2014, and today my guest is Andrea Faby. She has a very interesting blog at It Takes Time, which is it-takes-time.com, and she also has a business selling handmade natural personal care products. She's got an organization called Moms Aware to educate moms to live healthy in a toxic world. And it's just very interesting for me to read her blog because she has things on it that I didn't know. In fact, that's how I found her, was that one of my readers sent me a comment to one of my posts with a link to Andrea's website about immersion blenders. And maybe we'll talk about that a little bit. But she, as I looked around her blog, she had her viewpoint is very much in common with mine. And yet she does things slightly differently and in an interesting way. And I learned a lot by looking at her website. And I'm still looking at her website because she's very creative and has her own way of doing things. Hi, Andrea.
Hey, Deborah. So great to be here. I'm so excited.
Thank you. Oh, so the thing that I forgot to say is you have 9 children. So
well,
now nobody can tell me, nobody can say to me now that they're too busy to be toxic free.
Oh, well, that's a story and I'm sure we'll get into it.
So I gave a little summary about what you do, but why don't you, in your own words, just give us an overview about what you do?
Well, I just have a passion like you do, Deborah, just to return to nature, really explore what it means to live as naturally as possible. And I haven't always been that way. Unlike you, who've been on this journey, you're way ahead of your time.
Thank you.
I was not on this journey until the year 2008. So it's very recent for me in the last 6 years. But I know that if I can make some of these changes, anyone can.
That's exactly. I totally agree with you. So first, tell us how you got interested in this in 2008. What happened in your life? And what was your life like before?
Right. Well, before changed. We were a drive-through family. You know, I was raising 9 children, busy activities, living the good life, buying the cheapest products I could find. Even my next-door neighbor, I remember, got pregnant with her first child, and she wanted to go to natural products. And I said, don't throw your old ones away. I'll take them all. And, you know, I just had no concept.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And we were living, we were managing okay. And my oldest at the time in 2007 was in her 20s, and then our youngest was 6 years old. And up until that point, just, you know, I didn't cook. I bought as cheaply as I could and thought nothing about the world in which we live. So in the year 2000, we had moved into a home that we didn't make any connection with. For the first time in our parenting, we found ourselves in emergency rooms. We began to get medical diagnoses, and this was in the year 2000. And again, still thought nothing of it, except that we made a move from Illinois to Colorado, maybe the elevation, I don't know. We had our bird die. We had a lot of mysterious illnesses that lasted us up until the year 2007. Well, in that year, we found some mold in the house and uncovered some carpet, and not just a little, but a lot. And we called someone to come fix this, and unfortunately, we called the cheapest company possible, which was our mindset at the time. And very unfortunately, they remediated it improperly and blew fans all over it and into the heating system, and, you know, heating system, the ventilation in the home. So shortly after, about 6 weeks later, we began to see serious illnesses come up, autoimmune disease, vertigo, migraines, digestive problems, vision problems, respiratory problems, fatigue problems, but to the point where we had surgeries. My 11-year-old was in a wheelchair, and these were kids that were active and thriving. And before I knew it, our youngest four couldn't even read because the nystagmus was so intense. So if something severe was happening, but to be honest, Deborah, I was just hoping a doctor would figure it out for us. And so we went to 60 of them that year, and it was only thanks to the internet and a friend who suggested that there's such a thing as, you know, sick building syndrome, environment matters, that kind of thing, who just mentioned it to me. I didn't want to think about environment or anything like, or even taking ownership of our health in any way. That was a new concept. But, you know, desperation will take you a lot of places, and I became desperate to find an answer. And when I connected the dots that this mold exposure was so intense and the remediation was so improperly done, that we were living in a very toxic situation. And that led me to speak with one of the leading toxicologists in the field, who helped me understand what had happened to our family and encouraged us to leave everything, treat the home as it was on, you know, as if it were on fire. And October 4th, 2008, we did that. At the time, we had 7 children living with us. Others were out. And we left everything and started completely over. And I had, great hope that some of these health issues would be behind us. And unfortunately, what I didn't understand about our immune system and rebuilding it is we couldn't keep the lifestyle we had. Yeah. And as one who was completely clueless, and now I'm 51 years old, you know, I was an older parent, I'd lived a certain way, and my health had declined so severely that not only did I have 9 sick children, but I was having a hard time functioning, a lot of memory loss and fatigue and joint problems, liver problems, and so on. So it was a very steep learning curve suddenly, and out of desperation, you know, I made a lot of changes, and including just we moved to Arizona to kind of figure out how we were going to survive and thrive again, or if that was even possible. We were just kind of limping along, and I discovered that it's more than, you know, there's clean air, there's clean water, and there's clean food. Well, our diet was pretty typical American. So to change and alter, and our products were full of chemicals, something I'd never thought about. So to make all of those changes, this is why I know that if I can do this, limping along, I know that anyone can. The key is understanding it's a process, and it took time, and that's why I had such a passion to call my blog that.
We need to go to break, but I do want to say that I just can't even imagine what you went through, having gone through that whole process myself, and I know a lot of people listening have gone through their own process, but I only had to do it with one person. And I just can't even imagine multiplying that by nine, especially children who you have to then help as well. We need to go to break now, so we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Andrea Fabry. And when we come back, we'll hear more about her adventure and how she became toxic-free and nature-oriented. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Andrea Fabry. She's got nine children, and she went through a whole ordeal of having to change their whole lifestyle, hers and her whole family's, when they all got sick from toxic mold. And so Andrea, when you got to the point where you decided that you needed to change everything, what were some, reading your blog, you have picked up on some things. Like, I've been looking at toxic chemicals for 30 years, more than 30 years. I've been writing about them for 30 years.
You have.
And I went through my own ordeal in 1978. That was a long, long time ago. And so I've looked at a lot of products, but you write about things I've never heard of. Like, let's talk about toxic chemicals in immersion blenders. Because that, you know, that came up on my blog because somebody sent it in, but it sparked a lot of interest. So how did it ever occur to you to look at toxic chemicals in immersion blenders?
Well, here's the thing. You know, I went from a complete disinterest in the whole subject and thought people like myself, and probably at the time I would have thought you were kind of, you know, nuts.
Thank you.
I mean, I really just was not interested and just couldn't understand asking questions about our lifestyle, honestly. So, to go from that to reading the science journals, that's what I do. And, I'm sure just like you, I'm on notifications. I like keywords. And so this study came up, and it was very recent. It was in Sweden, I believe, of, you know, finding chlorinated paraffins in immersion blenders. And, you know, we live by our stick blender because when you fix food from scratch, there's a lot to do, and this makes it very, you know, really helps speed the whole process up.
Right,
we love our soups that
way.
I make mayonnaise with my immersion blender, so, you know, it really caught my eye, and it was, and, you know, I just wrote about it the next day. I wrote the author of the study because I knew it had really just come out, and what's so interesting, and it was just interesting more than, oh, I've got to quickly take action, because Deborah, you and I both know it's like you do the best you can, the best you can, and then you make choices, and you learn, and you grow, and, you know, next time I need an immersion blender, I'm going to get this brand. But I felt a little more urgent about that, but more than that, I just, it was such a new, I use it all the time, and I never thought to look, and of course I buy stainless steel, the bottom, I never thought to look under that hood. Well, there is this plastic. And then what is it, what type of plastic, to find that chlorinated paraffins, and I know enough to know, I don't want that in my food. I don't want it, and we're heating it up. It's electrically applied. You know, there's heat involved. So,
right.
And
so
the author of the study, he just kind of came on it by accident where this cat food had been contaminated, and so they tried to figure out why and how. So all that to say, you know, I know you and I are just very like-minded and like-hearted. I just couldn't wait to share that information.
Yeah, whenever I see things like that, I always want to tell people. It was like when I finally figured out in my own life that I could feel better by not being exposed to toxic chemicals, it was like, oh my God, I have to tell everybody.
Yes.
Because nobody had told me. If somebody had told me early in life, or if my parents had known early in life that they could have raised a healthy child by not exposing them to toxic chemicals, and they had done that, how different my life would have been.
Right.
and how different my life would have been if I had felt better and not gone through the illnesses that I went through. And I just said, you know, I have to talk about this because I don't want anybody to be exposed to toxic chemicals because they don't know.
Right. Exactly.
That
and of
if
course,
you
I
don't
feel,
know,
you
yeah,
don't,
if you don't
and,
know,
you know,
you can't make
I
a choice.
I feel that way so much about a house, an indoor environment of any sort, a school, an office, you know, a house. To understand that our air matters, you know, that's a new way of thinking.
It is a new way of thinking. I mean, I've been, you know, when I started 30 years ago, there was no such field as indoor air pollution. And I was writing about, you know, people getting sick from carpets and stuff. And there were no studies then. But I was just saying, you know, well, I know this person that got sick. and we took out the carpet and they were fine. And then the studies started coming out. And so now we think of things, toxic chemical exposures, very differently than we did.
Yes, you've seen it all. Boy, you have really seen it.
I really have been here through the whole history of it.
Yeah, you have.
I want to back up for a minute. Now, what should somebody be looking for in their immersion blender to, like, try to figure out if they're being exposed?
Well, I'll be honest, you know, if you have a stainless steel one, look under the hood, you know, the part that contacts the food, and see if you don't see a rim of plastic there. That's the problem, you know.
Okay.
And convenience is a problem, isn't it? I like it because it saves me some steps, and it works. Because otherwise, I'd get my big blender out and you know, with the stainless steel whisks and use that, or do it by hand and so forth. But you know, it looked to me from the study like it's enough to cause an issue. And if we're going to invest our time in this, you know, high-quality nutritional food, I want to, from the farm to the table, I want to keep it as non-toxic as I can. So, you know, it's up to every individual as to where that lies on your priority list. For me, I'm on the hunt for one that doesn't have that. And there were four brands in this study that came out clean. And I don't think, well, I can't recall if most of them were not made in China. And in fact, eight of them that were, you know, had this chlorinated paraffin were from China, or maybe it's not eight. I can't recall the exact number, but that's a clue sometimes. Find out where, even if it's, you buy it in America where it's been made. So I have bought two now since I'm really on this, and I really want to write about it, and I do want to replace mine because I use it so often. I've bought two, and they're from Europe. And so I'm currently waiting on the voltage adapt transformer because before I can use it. Either one.
I understand. It's an adventure. We need to go to break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Andrea Fabry. She has a blog called It Takes Time, and she's also the owner of Just So Natural Products, and we'll talk about these when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Andrea Fabry, and we're talking about how to live toxic-free with nine children. Now, I have to say, I was looking at your blog again. I keep looking at your blog. I was looking at your blog again during the break, and I have to say that, you know, you can go to my website, and you can find all kinds of practically anything you want to know how to buy, any toxic-free products, and I have recipes and things. But Andrea has this unique viewpoint because she's a mom and because she has a family. There are things that I would never even think to write about. Like, for example, there's a whole section about food called By Kids for Kids, where her kids are coming up with the recipes and pictures of, I mean, they've written the blog posts and there's pictures of them making them. And one of them is called Cacao Stripes Cookies, a gluten-free cacao stripe cookie. And she says, looking for a healthier alternative to the ever-popular Keebler fudge stripes? Well, see, I don't even know what a Keebler fudge stripe is because I gave up eating packaged cookies 30 years ago. So it would never occur to me to make an alternative to a Keebler fudge stripe.
Well, it turned out that way when I looked at the picture. It's exactly what it looked like. And Deborah, I'm sorry, but 8 years ago, that's all we were eating.
So, I understand.
Pretty fresh in my mind.
No, I understand, because I will admit that prior to, it was hard for me to change my food. I removed the toxic chemicals a lot sooner than the food took years. And even after I was living in a totally toxic-free home and eating additive-free food, that additive-free food still could be a bag of cookies, you know?
Right.
It could be. I used to have this these European cookies that I really loved, and they didn't have any preservatives or artificial colors or flavors in them. And so that was fine. I could eat wheat and sugar and, you know, all the other garbage. It was the only thing I was not eating was preservatives and artificial colors and flavors. That was as far as I had gotten at that point. And so I would just take a bag of these cookies and a carton of pasteurized milk, non-organic, because there was no organic milk then.
Yeah.
And I'd say that's what I'd have for dinner. And well balanced. So that's what I'm coming from. I mean, I grew up on TV dinners.
Yeah, me too.
And Jack in the Box.
Mm-hmm.
And A&W root beer. And
yes.
Yeah, that's what I... Shaky's
we are
pizza.
Kindred spirits.
Yeah, that's what I grew up on. I mean, I didn't know any different. And so the whole thing to stop eating those cookies and make my own cookies or make my own ice cream instead of... there used to be this flavor of ice cream, I don't know if it's still available, called Cherry Cherie, which is full of these candied maraschino cherries and chocolate chips. And I could eat a half a gallon of that. I'd just sit there and watch TV and eat a half a gallon. So I want people to know I'm totally normal. This is what I'm coming from.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't always been this way, but I learned.
Yeah. Over the years,
you learn.
You do. And you know what propelled us in our family with the nine kids is one of them, you know, right after we blew fans on the toxic mold, my son developed 6 weeks later type 1 diabetes. Well, that is a life-changing, obviously, a life-changing diagnosis. And as a mom, well, I choke up thinking about this, you know. He already lost so much, and now he's got to change his diet. And fortunately, at the time, I knew nothing about diet, and we were told just to cover his carbs. He could eat whatever he wanted. And this is why. It's mainly because of Colin, who's now 14. Watching him take ownership and learn to love real food and learn to cook real food and find things that he just loves without the sugar has been so encouraging. If he can do it, you know, and all of us can, and all the other kids kind of follow his lead, it's like you don't need sugar the way you think you do.
That's exactly right.
Food tastes wonderful in its natural state, and so that's really why we started By Kids for Kids, is they were just whizzes in the kitchen, and I thought that's going to help somebody or inspire another, you know, child with type 1 or their mom.
Yeah, it really is. I see that, you know, after all these years of research, I see that there's basic information that we need to have, like what's toxic and what's not toxic. But how you apply it is very individual. And it's so encouraging and gratifying for me to see a blog like yours where you're applying the same concerns that I have and the same information that I have in your own unique way with your family. And it's like there's, on one hand, we could say that, you know, this is a big, horrible, tragic thing that everything is so toxic. But on the other hand, seeing now that there's a whole alternate universe of,
yes.
of things that are not toxic and things that are good for you, but they aren't so commonly available or commonly known. And so it's about finding out about them and then using your own creativity. And it's this amazing opportunity to create your life the way you want it to be out of your own creativity.
Exactly. You know, I think of it now as like a treasure hunt as opposed to when this first happened. And, you know, a part of our story, Deborah, a big part of it is that after we left the house and after we started to recover, we developed multiple chemical sensitivity where one whiff of the laundry aisle in the store, and I would have to go lay down for 3 hours, or my children, one little tiny ant trap, that was so innocent, would create this huge nosebleed. That hadn't been the case, though, to become chemically sensitive on top of everything else.
Yeah.
My initial reaction was I resented it, Why can't we just go back to our old life? Because we simply had to alter our life. Some people make these decisions for a healthier lifestyle simply because they're smart, they're wise, they get it, they want to avoid things. I applaud that so much. That wasn't me. That's not my story. I had to. If my right. kids were going to survive and thrive again, we couldn't have the chemicals in the house. So we couldn't have the chemicals in the food. We had to do it all so fast.
I understand. So did I.
Yes. And there was a sort of a resentment about it at initially. Well, that, thankfully, the journey, I'm 6 years out. I really do see it as a treasure hunt now. It's the best part of what came out is discovering this whole world of yeah. natural and realizing how much better we're going to do over the long run, despite our crisis, that we know what we know, and then to enjoy it. And that's what I love to help people get over that hurdle of, I don't want it. I just resent the whole thing. Why can't we just make it the way it was? Or why do we have to think about immersion blenders or heaters like you opened the program? And I wrote that down because I didn't know, and I'm in Arizona and my feet are cold. So I'm like, oh, utility heater. Thank you, Deborah. Wrote that down. I like thinking about that now, whereas before it was a burden.
I totally understand what you're saying, and it is a treasure hunt for me too, and it's just so much delight when I find things. We need to go to break, but we'll be right back. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah. Dad. My guest today is Andrea Fabry, and we're talking about the delights of living toxic-free, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Dad, and my guest today is Andrea Fabry. She's the mother of 9 children who all went through toxic mold exposure and multiple chemical sensitivities and came out the other end smiling and creating a new life with much better products in their homes. So, Andrea, I wanted to ask you a question that I know that a lot of people have on their mind, and that is, at the beginning of the show, you were talking about how you used to buy everything that was just because it was cheap, and so it sounds like budget was a consideration for you. So, how does it not matter to you anymore, or how are you? Tell us, is it more expensive to live this way? And
well,
how do you do that?
It depends. I'm an economics major. I graduated in 1978 with economics. I didn't go into that field. However, something stuck with me over the years, and that is short run and long run. And when it comes to health and the world in which we live, there's a short run and there's a long run. And I now understand that I'm going for the long run. And when I spend more on food, and honestly, when you start making your own cleaning products and beauty care products, that part, I think, that expense can go down. Yeah. I don't know any way around spending more for grass-fed, pastured meat that's more expensive. But I see it as an investment, and I know in the long run, I know is that it pays off. It may cost more now, but you will be spending less. And if you look at 100 years ago, what we spent on food was it was a substantial part of our income, but what we spent on medical care was much smaller. Well, that's flipped. Now we're spending a great deal of income on medical care and less on food. And that's a mindset. So it really, changing that mindset to, yes, I may be spending more now, but I know, and we've seen it. The medical bill, because we had that horrific, especially 2007, 2008, our medical bills, it took us a long time to dig out of that hole. Plus, we lost our house and started over. So financially, it was quite devastating, to say the least, and we really did start from ground zero again. But we knew we had no choice, that if we were going to help our kids recover and thrive again, we had to get away from that mentality of, well, what's the cheapest? And I didn't even realize that I said that at the beginning, Deborah, but that truly was a big part of my mindset. How buying in bulk, buying the cheapest now. I belong to an organic buying club. We do group buys. You know, it's just like that treasure hunt. There's nothing like finding other like-minded people and getting together and sharing some of these costs. I mean, you know, we ended up buying a quarter cow. You know, that's a lot cheaper than the special cut of grass-fed beef. So there are, and that's the other part. You know, I do understand. I understand the financial concerns, and you can't do it all right away. But in the end, you will be saving in terms of quality of life.
I've found that too, and that there are certain things that are more expensive, and there's other things, like when you start cleaning your house with baking soda and vinegar instead of expensive cleaning products, you start saving money. And something that I found that my medical expenses did go down. I mean, there have been studies which show, I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but it's on my website, about how many billions of dollars are being spent on illnesses related to toxic chemical exposure. And so when you remove the toxic chemicals from your life, you're like cutting all of that out so that your body actually has a chance to thrive and have its own natural health. And that things like the extra expensive food is much, much less than the cost of medical bills. I mean, the cost of having cancer, for example, is astronomical.
Right. You know, we were on so many prescriptions. We had a seizure disorder, one of our children, and that was huge amounts of drugs and visits and tests and so forth. You know, I mean, she's seizure-free now, and thanks to, you know, clean air, clean food, clean water, you know, her body just has really appreciated the change, and so we're saving, you know. But I always have to, you know, honestly, you have to remember that, because you're giving up that lifestyle of walking in and seeing food is incredibly cheap this way when it's industrialized. So yeah. It's almost like just a giving up and a letting go of that.
Well, it's a letting go, but it's also, I think you'll agree that this other world that we found is actually much more enjoyable. Like, I much prefer the taste of organic food to cheap processed food.
Everything's better.
Yeah,
you know, and that is the long run view, and yeah, just the risk, you know. And again, I did it, you know, kicking and screaming, and now I'm beyond grateful. So my heart and my passion is for the kickers and screamers. But you know, who's ever listening to your program? They're probably not kicking and screaming, but maybe part of them. They're obviously smart. They're listening this. So, you know, but my heart is for someone who is having a hard time believing, is it really going to pay off? You know, and I just want to say the quality of life is you can hear it both in you and me. I think it's pretty evident.
Yes. So we're almost to the end of the show, but I want to make sure I ask you this question, because I see in your writing that you have a close to nature viewpoint, that you and this is something that's really important to me, and I wish we had a whole hour to talk about that, but maybe we'll have you back and we can talk more about that, because there's so much we haven't covered that we could talk about.
Well, it's like driving, Deborah. You know, if you, and I'm teaching one of our younger ones to drive again, it never gets easy. But you know, if you focus on ahead, what your goal is, rather than get caught, when you look too close to the road, you can get veer off. And nature really offers just a beautiful picture of thriving health-wise. And so you keep your eyes and your focus on, well, what is the closest to nature? And I'm very active in the field of building biology, and that's basically it. What kind of shelter does nature provide? What are the materials? You know, rather than getting caught up in this and that, if you can get tripped, I think, very easily.
Well, that in 1987, when it had been about 10 years, And I had was actually starting to feel better because I had no guidance or anything then. And in 1985, actually, I moved out into a forest instead of living in the city. And in 1987, I just kind of looked around and I said, well, wait a minute, there's the industrial world and then there's this. And nature is thriving. And why aren't we humans thriving? And I had just a big aha moment about if I wanted to know how to live in a way that was thriving, I should look at nature because nature was doing it.
And you know, I just want to thank you, honestly, really, for pioneering this.
Yeah.
And that took a lot of courage. And for you to just write about it so quickly and have this passion to share, you know, I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, I think it takes all of us. It takes all of us doing this. And my goal now is to have the whole world be toxic-free because, you know, I just started out just trying to make my home my home, and then quickly we have other people's homes. But, you know, that I've learned so much about how everything that we do has these long tails, and they go out into the environment, and they affect other people, and what other people do affects us. And that we really need to do, like in the beginning I was talking about my heater. Well, it's an electric heater, so it's producing pollution. But where I am right now, unless I put solar panels on my house, which I'm considering but not affording yet, that's the only choice I have, you know?
Right.
So we need to
yeah.
be looking at, yeah. well, what is the electric company doing? And what are the government regulations? And what are they selling at the big box stores? And, you know.
I do.
And sure. So everything that I do and everything that you do is all contributing to this, and everything that all our readers are doing. And it just, I think that all together we are changing the world. And
I
even
do
though
too.
It looks bleak sometimes, but we are changing the world, and we're changing the way people think, and we're changing what's happening. So, Andrea, I'm so happy that you are on the show, and let's have you on again.
I'd love it. I would
okay.
love to come back, Deborah.
Okay, good. So, again, her website is ittakestime.com, and it has hyphens in it, it-takes-time.com. And let's see. Make sure you look at her recipes. I know that I am going to make these little cacao stripe cookies.
you'll love them.
Yeah. And so many other things. She's got a pizza recipe. Her son makes pizza. Her son makes pizza for the family.
He's 13. I know. It's really amazing.
Isn't that amazing? And she's got a great recipe for coconut coffee ice cream. And it's just the one thing I like about your instructions are that I read a lot of real food blogs and experiment with things myself and write myself. But yours are very simple. Your recipes are very simple, and it's a good place to start. And I just go, oh, yeah, that would work. That would work.
Good. Oh, I love hearing that. Thank you for that feedback.
You're welcome. And we have to go because the music is going to come on in about 5 seconds. So thank you so much, Andrea. You go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com. You can listen to this show again. You can listen to past shows. You can read the transcripts. I'm Deborah Lindad. Be well.